good to see your presence tonight, and we've had a beautiful Lord's Day. This morning I had a lot of drainage, a lot of coughing, and I feel a lot better this evening, but I hope I don't get hoarse. I'm able to preach this evening without a lot of problem. Our lesson tonight is on Leave Us Alone. A lot of people will make this statement when you talk to them. You want to talk to them about the Bible, about the church, and they are not interested, and they say, leave us alone. In Acts 24, verse 24 and 25, we notice here that Felix, he asked the Apostle Paul to leave him alone. He said when it was convenient that he would talk to him some more. Notice it says, after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. And so here the Apostle Paul was preaching to Felix concerning righteousness. He was an unrighteous man, about self-control. He was a man who was not practicing self-control. Also about the judgment. He realized that he was not prepared for the judgment, and he was afraid. He trembled. He says, you go your way. Let me alone. A more convenient time, I'll talk to you. According to the scriptures, he met with Paul different times. But as far as we know, he never obeyed the gospel. He never became a Christian. And so he is saying here, go away for now, or let me go, or leave me alone. When we knock on doors sometimes, invite people to gospel meetings, or we'd like to study with them from the Bible, we hear these statements from individuals. Some will say, well, we have our religion. Don't bother me. Some might say, well, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Catholic, I'm a Methodist. Leave me alone. I don't want to be bothered. Even some become angry, and they'll say things to you that are not pleasant. They're simply saying, leave us alone. Now, we know that there's a lot of people, you try to talk to them, they're very nice. But they're still not interested in studying the Word of God, and they want you to let them alone. Many religious people want a religion that makes them feel comfortable. They want to be entertained and have social activities. There's a piece in a paper the other day about these mega churches, how they provide all these things to entertain people. Thousands of people are going to these churches. The truth is not important to them. In fact, many people, they want to be deceived. They're not interested in the truth. They don't love the truth. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, it says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And so they don't love the truth. They're not interested in the truth. And he says God will send them a strong delusion. God will help them to believe a lie if that's what they want to believe. In Amos 8 and verse 11, said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but a hearing the words of the Lord. A famine in the land of hearing the words of the Lord. Many people are not interested in hearing the words of the Lord. How can we, as members of the Lord's church, the Church of Christ, leave the world alone? When Jesus gave the command to go preach the gospel to every creature and to baptize the lost. In Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, he gave the Great Commission. He said unto them, Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And so how can we leave the world alone? How can we leave people alone if we're told to preach the word to them and to warn them? To leave the lost sinner alone is a worldly conception and not God's. It's not politically correct to go door to door and to talk to people about the Bible. Many people become offended. Did God leave the Jews alone on the day of Pentecost? On the day of Pentecost was a Jewish feast where thousands of Jews met to observe the feast of the day of Pentecost. Yes, the Jews here had their own religion, and they didn't want to change their religion. They were satisfied with their religion. The Jews had been God's chosen people. In the Old Testament, it tells us that the Jews were the chosen people of God. In Deuteronomy 7 and verse 6, For you're a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. And so the Jews were a special people to God. They were his chosen people back under the Old Testament law. Why did God not leave them alone here on the day of Pentecost? Because they were spiritually lost. God had changed his law. The Jews had lived under the old covenant, the Old Testament. The new covenant was now in force. And so they need to change their religion. And many of them were not interested in changing their religion. In Hebrews 8, verse 13, in that he says a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. And so the old covenant became obsolete, and it vanished away. Yes, Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament. Peter and the apostles told the Jews what they needed to hear because they were lost in sin here on the day of Pentecost. Peter stood up with the apostles in Acts, the second chapter, verse 36 beginning. Peter says, Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said to Peter, to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And so we don't know how many thousands of Jews were there to observe Pentecost, but 3,000 gladly received the word and were baptized. They were pricked in their hearts, cut to the heart, and cried out, What shall we do? And they believed, and they were told to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins. God didn't let all these people alone. He had Peter to stand up and preach to them the gospel of Christ. Did God leave the Ethiopian a eunuch alone? Yes, he was a very religious man. He had traveled all the way to Jerusalem to worship God, and he was reading his Bible. They say it's about 1,000 miles that he had traveled to Jerusalem. And so he was a devout Jew. He attended, yes, this Jewish feast. And he worshiped God. He was reading his Bible. in Acts 8 and verse 27. This is Philip, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem to worship God. And so here was a man who was a seeker. He wanted to learn the truth. He was reading his Bible, studying the book of Isaiah concerning Christ, the Messiah. In Acts 8 and verse 30 says, and Philip ran thither to him, heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? You know, today if we see some reading the Bible and we ask them, do you understand what you're reading? They might become offended. But here the eunuch was not offended. He wanted Philip to explain those scriptures to him. Why didn't Philip leave him alone? He was religious. He worshiped God. He was seeking, but he was lost in sin. He needed to hear the gospel and obey the gospel of Christ. In Acts 8, verse 35, beginning, then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, preached unto him Jesus. As they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. The eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch. He baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip. The eunuch saw him no more. He went on his way rejoicing. And so here Philip was preaching to the eunuch concerning Christ, preached to him Jesus. And he said, well, here's water, what hinders me to be baptized? And so he realized that he needed to be baptized. And they both went down into the water. He didn't sprinkle a little water on him. They immersed him in water. Yes, Philip did not leave him alone, even though he's a religious man. God did not leave Cornelius alone. He was a good moral man. He was a religious man. In Acts 10, verse 1 and 2, there's a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people, prayed to God always. Notice here, Cornelius, he was sincere. He was a devout man. He feared God. He gave alms, or he gave gifts to others. He helped the needy. He prayed to God always. And yet God did not leave him alone. He was lost in sin. God didn't leave him alone because he was lost in sin and needed to obey the gospel of Christ. Cornelius was told to send for Peter, who would tell him what he must do to be saved. In Acts 11, verse 13 and 14, and he showed us how that he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa, call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And so here Cornelius, a religious man, devout man, sent for Peter, who was to tell him what he must do to be saved. And Cornelius, after he'd sent for Peter, it says he invited his kinfolks and his near friends to come to his house and hear what Peter had to say. In Acts 10, 24, and the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, Cornelius waited for them, had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Peter didn't leave Cornelius alone. He came and told him what he must do to be saved. In Acts 10, 34 and 35, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. In Acts 10, 47 and 48, He said, "Can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. And so he was told to send for Peter, who'd tell him what to do. And Peter commanded him to be baptized. Also, did God leave the Philippian jailer alone? Was he a religious man? As far as we know, the jailer was a heathen. He was not a religious man. Paul and Silas had been beaten. They'd been put in the inner prison in stocks. At midnight, they were praying and singing praises to God, and there was an earthquake, and all the prison doors were open. And the jailer came in, and he saw what had happened. He drew his sword. He was going to kill himself because he was responsible for those prisoners. But Paul told him to do himself no harm, that we're all here. In Acts 16, verse 30, it says, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" No doubt the jailer realized that it was God that had caused this earthquake and the prison doors to be open. And he says, "What must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy house." Notice they spake unto him the word of the Lord to all that were in his house, took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. And so here, Paul preached to him Jesus so that he could believe. And then when he believed, then they took him the same hour of the night and baptized him. Sometimes denominations, they call it baptism, but they'll wait maybe a week or a month, and then they'll baptize a group. But it's dangerous to wait. This man was baptized the same hour of the night. Paul taught the jailer the word of the Lord so that he could believe. He heard, he believed, he was baptized the same hour of the night. Why didn't Paul just leave the jailer alone? Well, he was lost in sin. He needed to obey God. Did God leave Saul of Tarsus, who was the Apostle Paul, alone? Yes, he was a very religious man. In Galatians 1, verse 13 and 14, it says, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." And so he was a Pharisee, he was a Jew, and he was a very religious man. He was sincere, and he was zealous in the Jews' religion. And he thought he was serving God and persecuting the church. In Acts 23 and 1, Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I've lived in all good conscience before God unto this day." And so he lived with a good conscience, even though he had had Christians put to death. In Acts 22 and 3 says he was zealous toward God, as you all are this day. Jesus didn't leave Saul of Tarsus alone. Even though he was religious, he was sincere, he was zealous toward God, he had a good conscience. But God didn't leave this man alone because he was lost in sin. In Acts 9, verse 3 beginning, now he had been given permission from the high priest to persecute Christians. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" The Lord said, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" The Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, it shall be told thee what thou must do. And so the Lord here appeared to Saul, a great light. Saul became blind. But Jesus didn't save Saul on the road to Damascus. He told him to go to Damascus, and there he'd be told what to do. Saul went to Damascus as Jesus told him to do. Then Ananias came to him and told him what he must do to be saved. In Acts 9, verse 17 and 18, Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, hast sent me, thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales. He received sight forthwith, arose, and was baptized. Saul was not saved on the road to Damascus by Jesus. Ananias told him what he had to do to wash away his sins. He still had his sins when Ananias told him what to do. He said there in Acts 22:16, Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And so God didn't let him alone, but he had Ananias to tell him what he must do to be saved. Some may say to us, leave me alone. I have my own religion. I'm already a believer. I am sincere. I go to church. I worship God. Just let me alone. But we notice that God did not leave all those people alone. He wanted them to be saved. Many people that are religious are in error, and they need to hear the truth and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. One must obey the truth of God's word in order to be saved. God did not leave alone those thousands of people at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. He didn't leave the Ethiopian eunuch alone. He didn't leave Cornelius alone. He didn't leave the Philippian jailer alone. He didn't leave Saul of Tarsus alone. But he provided a way that they could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the truth concerning Jesus, and they were all baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. Do you want God to leave you alone? If you're not a Christian, he's not going to leave you alone. He wants you to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants you to be saved just like he did those examples that we studied tonight. If you're not a Christian, then you need to obey the gospel. You must have faith in God and believe that he is. Repent, turn away from your sins to God. Make the good confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the same confession the eunuch made. Be baptized to wash away your sins, as Saul of Tarsus was told to do. And be faithful. The Lord will add you to his church, and be faithful, and heaven will be your home. And so if you need to obey the gospel, Jesus asked you to come. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And so why don't you come now while we stand and sing this song?